Hi, this is Lori, your host of Happiness Hangout, a space to come and elevate your happiness levels. You, me, and our guests will discuss and help you apply happiness to all aspects of your life, even if you're already happy. Get your daily boost of information to help you feel your best. Well, hello, everybody. This is Lori Peters with the Happiness Hangout, a place and space to feel your best. Glad you could join us for a very exciting show and never boring and dull when we talk about dealing with relationships, which we're going to spend about the next 55 minutes doing. We all have relationships of many types we all have to deal with, and getting good information on that and helping us maneuver our way through life, because relationships, as we know, are everything. We think you'll really enjoy the show. I do want to start off by reminding our listeners that we do have individual show sponsorships, and I'm very excited about being able to do that now. And I would like to honor, if you will, a show sponsor. Her name is Rose Marie Krizziak. This is dedicated to Mom and Grandma, Rose Marie Krizziak. Rosemary's had to adjust to her life in assisted living, and it's been a pretty rough road in that adjustment for Rosemary. This show is dedicated to you, Rosemary Krizziak, wishing you health, happiness, and most of all, peace as your life transitions. This is coming from much love from your family, from Steve, Lori, Carrie, Casey, and Michael Krizziak. So, Rosemary, this one's for you. Well, today on the show, we always have an expert guest that we love to have and get excited and talk about relationships. And I do want to remind the callers that you can call in and ask questions if you'd like at any time. We know the majority of our listeners are listening through podcasts, but for those of you with us, if you can call in, we'd love to have you call and ask questions. And that would be to 888-627-6008. Again, that is 888-627-6008. Like to tell you a little bit about our expert guest today, Carlenia Springer. Carlenia is the CEO of Destiny Embraced, a transformational training and coaching company. She's a visionary, spiritual teacher, transformational teacher, certified coach, and co-author of Amazon's bestseller, Live Your Best Life. Having displayed advanced intuitive abilities from an early age, Carlenia has used her experiences to support others in their healing journey. Her passion to help women embrace their native intelligence, come home to themselves, and shatter painful emotional realities. She teaches her clients and students how to erase the confusion, access dimensional clarity, and achieve high levels of emotional mastery. Carlenia has a bachelor's in psychology from the University of Maryland and has been nominated for an honorary doctorate. She studied with spiritual masters, spending 2 years at Inner Visions Institute for Spiritual Development, founded by Dr. Iyanla Van Zandt. Another 2 years in Ritual Healing Village, Osobonfu Sam, learning the ways of being in community. Ascend Spiritual Flight Academy with Master Coach Ron Davis, and personally mentored by Master Teacher Reverend Israel Malik Esters of World Awakening Universal Church of Christ for 5 years. Carlenia, welcome to the Happiness Hangout. So happy to have you today.
Lori, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Well, I will tell you, the first thing I just have to get off my mind, and I have to tell you, I love Iyanla Van Zandt. I started reading her books when I was really kind of a kid. Like in my 20s, I started reading her books. I found her fascinating, everything about her fascinating. And then, you know, when she came back on the scene later on, I started really paying more attention some years later when obviously she hooked up with Oprah again. But being able to study with her, she's quite an interesting human being, character, just an amazing human being.
Absolutely, yes. And I have to tell you, when I first went to Inner Visions, it was the first year that she opened that school, so it was in 2000. And up until that point, I had not had any spiritual training. And walking into that space, it just felt like I was walking. It felt like coming home. I don't even know how to explain it. The people seemed to have spoke in a different language. Everybody seemed so elevated and so conscious. And I just remember this excitement like a kid in a candy store. Really, it was a completely different energy than what I was used to on a daily basis. And we went there once a weekend for like 2 years. We gathered, and the atmosphere was, oh my God, it was like stepping out of time and into this space where it was like somebody just welcoming your soul home. I don't have words to describe it. I really don't have words to describe that experience. It was so transformative.
Oh, everybody should be able to go through something like that. Now, I know it's you studied, you know, there, but was she available to you as well? Or were you just, you know, with her, not just, but were you with her teachers?
Oh, yes. No, she taught every single weekend. And as a matter of fact, she started, I think it was in our second year is when her TV, towards the end of our second year, is when the TV show started. But she was there just about every single weekend. It was she and a team of teachers. But she was the main one. She was the main one there. And now she's turned the whole thing over, the day-to-day running of that. She's turned it over to other people to take care of. But while we were there, she was there. It was her first year opening the school. And as a matter of fact, I remember for a year and a half just being so hungry for transformation. I didn't even know what I was hungry for. And one day I just knew I had a lot of information and I needed someone to teach me how to put this all together. And her name popped into my head. Now, at that time, she was on Oprah, but I had never seen her. So I wasn't even sure about how to spell her name. That day that her name popped into my head, I walked into a CVS, and she was on the front cover of an Essence magazine, and she was having a New Year's, it was close to Christmas, she was having a New Year's Eve event, and I just knew that I had to be there. I called, and they were out of tickets. I think they had sold out, so I offered to volunteer. And the guy said, well, we have volunteers, but since you volunteered, you can come as my guest. It turned out to be her son-in-law, and it was in that space that I found out that she was opening Inner Visions Institute for Spiritual Development later in the fall of the following year. So it was, yeah, that was one of the most amazing experiences because it just started my formal journey into I know myself to be today.
Well, I could understand now she, you know, we go in different directions and we can only do so much. And if one thing we've learned from whomever we've learned from, whether it's been ourselves or other people, that we have to take that time to say, this is what I can do now so we can keep ourselves healthy and not overdo it. And like all of us, she can only be in so many places at once. So right. I'm just a big fan. Like I said, I mean, I was reading the book so many years ago and I still have them, and just to see her now, it's pretty amazing. So let's get to you and our relationships and what we're here to talk about today. So like myself, you released your job and you created Destiny Embrace. Tell us a little bit about that and how that happened.
Well, I have to tell you that I had gotten sick 3 months prior to releasing my job, and that year everything was collapsing around me, and I literally thought my life was just falling to pieces. I had gotten divorced after a long separation, and no matter what I was trying to do, my finances were just collapsing. Everything was just falling apart, and I was doing everything to hold it together the best I could. And I remember sitting at my desk one day, got to work all excited about, you know, what I was going to do, what I was going to accomplish. I could do my work with my eyes closed, but it was what I was creating that I was more excited about. And as I sat down at 9 o'clock, I began to see flashes. And there are times when I get migraines, but it had been years. And I knew that, you know what, I can't work like this. And I'm under pressure that I no longer even feel, because I never felt that coming on. Usually I would feel, in the past, I would feel the migraine coming on. I would have something that would, you know, give me a sense that something was off. And I did not detect anything. And as the migraines began to increase, my body began getting weaker and weaker. And I remember earlier that year, my three-year-old niece died. She transitioned, and for apparently no physical reason. And it was just like a soul-shattering experience. But then 8 months later, my aunt, my mom's youngest sister, went to the doctor for a clean bill of health. She was getting ready to move. She had had cancer, was 61, had cancer, and was given a clean bill of health months before, and went back just to make sure. And when she got there, they told her, we don't even know how you got here, and we don't know how long you have to live. We can't even say if you will make it back home, or if you have 30 days, 2 weeks. We don't know. We can't say that. You can't drive back home. And I can remember I can remember getting that news. And that happened, you know, that was aside from all the things that were falling apart in my own personal life and my circumstances. And I can remember the night that I got the call that she had passed. And the next day I went to work, and I told the guy that I work with, I said, I can't do this anymore. It's too much. My doctor's going to write me off, and I don't know when I'll be back. Well, she wrote me off for 3.5 months. And I thought I had, you know, I was getting stronger and I was feeling better. So when it was time for me to go back to work, I felt all of that pressure, and I had a pain in my heart. I felt all of that come back full force. And I knew in my body, I had never come close to death, but I knew that if I went back, my body would not survive. And that's when I made a conscious decision to release my job, because I knew I knew that I had a calling, but I couldn't see how to walk in that purpose with no money. And all of my fears were around holding on to my job. And I held on for as long as I could. And when I couldn't hold on anymore, then the money didn't matter. Because without my health, I couldn't work anyway. And the very things I was worried about took a back seat. And I can remember being in the library the day when I called my job and I told them that that I wasn't coming back. And the guy that I worked with, he said, you know, you have to do what's best for you. And I remember looking up, and there was a car in front of me, and the tag said One Power. And I knew that I had, that even though I felt nervous in doing that, that I had made the right decision. And I had stepped out the library to make the call. I walked back in, and a young girl asked me to use my phone. And when she gave it back to me, I said, you know what, I can't leave here in good conscience and not tell you that there is a way out of your circumstances, that you don't have to accept this situation. And she seemed to have had lost custody of her kids for 3 years, three girls. The youngest was 3 months when that baby was taken from her. And from what I was hearing, she was begging a court-appointed lawyer or someone to help her keep her kids. They were going to have the baby put up for adoption, and there wasn't even anyone that that was ready to adopt the baby. They were just terminating her parental rights. And I just saw the distress, and I said, you know what? I said, there is a way out. I can't tell you what it is, but you do not have to accept this. And I said, I have to go right now, but can I write you a prescription? Can I write you something you can say over and over? And she said, yes. I said, can you write 50 times that the baby is home and all is well? And she said, yes. I said, can you write, I am the thinker? Can you say this 100 times a day? I am the thinker. I think the thought. I create the thing. She said, yes. I said, okay, I need you to do this. I met with her once a week, with her and some of her friends, once a week in the library for about a few weeks up until the time of her court date. And the day before her court date, I think she just got nervous and she didn't meet with me. A few months later, I was going to speak at a women's conference and I was en route to Chicago. And I got a text from her and she said, when I wrote that so-called prescription, I said, there is such a thing as case dismissed. So when she texted me, she said, all the cases have been dismissed. The girls are on their way home and all is well. But meeting her as soon as I released my job and seeing her need and in that moment being able to help shift her energy and help her create a different circumstance, even though I couldn't tell her how it was going to turn out. I said, you don't have to accept this. I saw for myself that a lot of what I worried about, like who would be my clients, who would want what I have. I helped a lot of people, but I don't know if I can support myself. I saw that Spirit was showing me, no, there are people all around you that need what you have. And if you are willing to trust and be open to your journey, you will see. It will show up for you, and it will show up naturally. And so that was how I ended up releasing my job and, you know, speaking to her and her friends. And it showed me that I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to be anything other than who I was authentically. I could just show up as who I was. I didn't have to prove myself. I didn't have to be different. And I could serve others and I would be okay. So it's been a long journey. It hasn't been an easy journey, but it's been a journey of discovery. It's been a journey of unfolding. It's been a tremendous and fulfilling journey, and sometimes very painful, but I understand now that the painful parts were there as just is part of the journey, and there are places in which we have put up blocks around our hearts and we no longer even see it. There are places that our heart remembers the pain and our head does not, it no longer remembers that pain. And unless something happens to shake that and awaken us and to shake that wall or that those blocks loose, we can't reach the thing that we're reaching for. We can't access it. So I was brought to a point where everything around me stopped. I couldn't sell any programs. I couldn't do anything. And everything I was doing appeared to be failing. And when I finally said, okay, God, I'm not moving. I'm not doing anything else. I'm not doing anything else until you show me something. And I remember sitting at my computer on the bed one day. My kids were gone. And for 2 or 3 days, it was a lot of emotions that were coming up. And I had learned to be with my emotions instead of trying to push them away. And I heard so clearly, I heard Spirit say, I heard wisdom whisper to me, okay, now that I've got your attention, I can speak. And I began to type. And over the course of 2 days, literally from like 5, 6 in the morning till 2 o'clock the next morning, and then go to sleep for a few hours and get up and start again, I wrote 100 pages straight. And it was my story. It was parts of my story, parts of my journey that I was holding. I was holding because of allegiances and alliances to people in my family. And I don't know how many of your listeners know what it's like when you grow up and you know, there's certain things that happen in your family and you're told not to tell. Mm-hmm. And other people are going around and they're okay. But inside you're dying because it's eating at you. And you don't even know that that's what it is. And in right. that process, all of what I was holding just naturally flowed out. And I remember this was in January. This was January of this year. And then in February, I got a call in January that we had an opportunity. I'm part of Black Belt Speakers, and we had an opportunity to be on a TV network called the Word Network. And I said, okay, God, I guess you're doing this, because I said, I'm not moving until you move me. And we went on the Word Network with our book that I co-authored, Live Your Best Life. And from there, things have just been opening up at such a tremendous rate. I can hardly keep up. But what I want people to know is that pain that we're often taught to hide, to suck it up, when we learn to self-partner, and by that I mean literally the way we want our loved ones, whether that's our lover, our intimate partner, our child, our friend, you know, there are times when we feel like people are ignoring us or they're not treating us the way that we want to be treated. And we don't realize that we're doing that very thing to ourselves. And what I discovered was, when I was willing to sit with my pain without trying to move it, hide it, fade it, or fix it, when I was willing to sit with it, it lifted. And the more it lifted, the more people that I wanted to, people shifted the way they interacted with me. And I wasn't begging or pleading with anyone to treat me differently. And so I teach that to my clients. I teach that to my students. And they begin to see changes just about immediately, because they're paying attention to themselves. And things begin to shift. And when you see that, you get excited, because I define power as the ability to control your environment and circumstances. And oftentimes, these are places where we feel so helpless and we don't know what to do. And I'm here to say that you don't have to stay in that situation. There is a way out.
Well, Carlinia, there is so much here, so many lessons. I mean, I don't even know where to start, but as I listen to you talk, there's sort of an overwhelming theme that hits me. And it seems to come up over and over in people that are really looking to grow themselves to the highest levels possible, is that being open it's everything. Because when you're open, well, I'd say two things now that you've said a little more. Being open, first of all, to it, and then paying attention to what's coming at you. For me, it has always been hard growing up and being able to not try to do, quote unquote, do something. And yes. And it's so, it truly is, it's harder to sit back and just be in it and not try to manipulate, change, convince, sell, whatever word you want to use, to not do that. And if you're just open and let it come to you. But I tend to be impatient. I'm very impatient. And it's tough. And so, but that lesson is one that I think, you know, and when we're talking about relationships, I mean, so much of what you said, just telling your story, but you told your story in a way that fits with everything in life, but everything is relationships too. So like you just said, when you sit with it and you're not controlling, you're not manipulating, you're just listening for what's to come next, transformational things happen. So you were just talking a little bit about, we could talk about synchronicity, but you were discussing another term, the self-partnering.
Oh, self-partnering, yeah.
Tell us a little, you were beginning to tell us more about what you were just talking about, like how you sit in that and how it changes you and why you don't have to, quote unquote, do so much.
Okay, well, you know what? For me, that was a more recent discovery, because I was so much in my head. I have years of spiritual training, healing, mental and emotional. But what I didn't realize was that there was pain that was literally locked in myself, in my body. I just did not realize it. And coming to that realization that I grew up in a narcissistic household, and I didn't even know what that was. I you know, it was a word that I heard thrown about, but I really didn't know what that was. And I grew up with a mother who always, from the time I knew myself, told me that, you know, she had a difficult time relating to me. So I'm a parent. You know, I just thought, okay, well, my mom she just had a difficult time bonding with me. But to come to the realization that there was something called narcissism, and there are a set of traits that I didn't even know about, and that there are people that operate with no conscience, and most of them are unconscious about it. It was very hard for me to really process that, because it was the closest thing to soul shattering that I had experienced.
Well, because it's your mom. You know, it's your mom.
And it made me feel like everything that I knew was a lie. It caused me to question my spirituality. And everything from a child, I've been so curious to just love God with all of my heart, you know, and it caused me to ask, like, what is good and evil? And I really had to go to the highest aspect of who I was to be able to even move past it and even have this conversation with you. And I had to, when I say go to the highest aspect of who I was, I had to go to that, you know what, everyone is a creation of God. And one of my mentors put it this way. He said, the devil is God's guard dog. The devil is God's guard dog, there for your soul refinement. And when I looked at my situation that way, it helped me to shift my perspective. But it couldn't just be a mental process, because there was so much emotional pain that was literally locked in my body, so much fear for my own safety and my survival that I didn't even know that I had. There was pain that I couldn't see, that it made my journey and it made my struggle make sense, because I realized it came to me. This information came to me when I was psychologically able and capable of handling it. And I realized that if I had received it before, there's no way I would have been able to probably maintain my sanity, because it just caused everything that I believed in to collapse. And in that process, I began to research, like, what is this? And I saw a lot of communities that dealt with abuse. And then I came across a lady, Melanie Tanya Evans, who spoke about it in a way that was healing. And she talked about these people as being angels in disguise. Literally, they are calling us to rise up to the bigger beings that we really are, and that we didn't have to see ourselves as survivors of abuse. And that resonated more with me. But she spoke about self-partnering, and what that looked like was when I would feel pain, instead of trying to be, like you said, busy and just do and fix and, you know, act like stuff wasn't there, she said, sit with it, feel it, just be with yourself, that self-partnering, because what we learned to do is to self-abandon, and we didn't do it on purpose. The ones who raised us, they did it. They didn't do it on purpose. You know, it's something that generational, or if they have some type of challenge or issue or whatever the story, there's always a story. Mm-hmm. So we learn to self-abandon. And what I realized was every time I sat with the pain didn't stay, it lifted. But underneath that was a tremendous amount of wisdom. And that day when I said I sat and then I wrote 100 pages, I literally accessed what I call the wisdom pool gateway, because it was such a flood, and I knew I had broken through to another level. And so I teach, and the thing is that I was teaching people to do this, but not to the extent that I practiced it in order to break out of it, because I just didn't know that I held that pain. I literally would teach my clients, like, when you're feeling agitated, I don't care how slightly agitated or upset, like, put your hand on your heart. And I would do it for myself, and I'd say, Carlenia, I love you. It's okay. The experiences you have, they've been harsh. So it's okay that you don't feel good right now. I would acknowledge myself. I would acknowledge my feelings. I think before I would try to speak positively, but I got to a point where all of that positive talk wasn't doing anything. And the reason it wasn't doing anything was beneath it lay so much pain, pain that I couldn't see, pain that I wasn't acknowledging because I felt it in my body, but mentally I was trying to shift it mentally. And what I learned from Melanie was that that pain in your body, there's no words attached to that. So you can't shift it. All the mental processing wouldn't shift it because I thought that I had all of the work and everything I had done, I thought it was all for nothing. That's how broken I felt. And yet within months, and I know it's because of the work I've done over the years, within months, it lifted. And it's not like it's completely gone. There are times that I feel it, but I know how to be with me. I know how to self-partner. So when people are feeling when people are feeling out of sorts, when they're not feeling well, to acknowledge that to themselves, when they feel ignored, when they feel abandoned, especially people that have had those experiences, we tend to go look outside of ourselves to somebody else to fill that painful, empty space. Or do you look for drugs or food or, you know, like you said, we have relationships with everything. And you go shopping, you try to fill that empty space and nothing can fill it. Because when you're alone in the empty moment, the question is like, do you like your own company? And I can say I love my own company. I love being with other people, but I absolutely love myself because I appreciate, and I couldn't always say that. But that comes from you talked about synchronicity. It comes from a moment-to-moment practice of shifting your attention into the present moment. So, like, what's happening right now? What am I feeling right now? Because it's in that shift that you begin to recognize the synchronicity. And you begin to recognize that you're being led. And when you recognize it, it begins to take your attention off of that pain. As that pain lives, you're being led and you know it because you can hear. However you hear, maybe you see things, maybe you have visions, maybe it's through dreams. Maybe you notice when people say something, you know, we all get it differently. But you recognize that you're being led. The more and more present you become. And when you self-partner, it causes you to be present. And then, like I said, the greatest thing is that the people closest to you, they start to, it's like the universe leans in and begins to hug you, begins to love you. And if the people in your space are not meant to be there or they were just meant to be there to show you how you treated yourself, they will fall away. Don't go back and get them. I heard a pastor say that was if God removed them, that was for your protection. Don't go pick them back up.
And you know what I seem to be getting out of this, and you know I do a lot of my presentations around keeping and elevating happiness levels up. But what you're bringing to us today is when you choose to sit with it. That's like the first step because you've actually allowed yourself to stop, sit with it, and the more you begin to just let it be, that's the process of the release. And it's funny because we all go through a journey, as you said before, and my journey brought me to happiness. And it wasn't exactly your journey, but I've got to be sure to any of us, including myself, to get to the place where I love my company too. And I, you know, I really enjoy life and I look at things in a way that has just been transformational for me. It may have not looked exactly like what you said, but I'm convinced that I know I did some kind of process to get to where I was because I had, Carlini, I had an epiphany one day walking my dog. I mean, bam. And I say this, I talk about this on the show a lot, but I know that epiphany was years of preparation for that epiphany to happen. For me, it was a lot of reading, a lot of soul searching, a lot of questioning, a lot of thinking, a lot of whatever that was, brought me to that place. So I'm very interested to hear that. I love hearing what you do in that, because that's a tool, a major tool. It deserves a bigger word than a tool, but it's a major process, you know, that I know that I will be aware of, because when you can sit with your own company, other people want to sit with your company.
Yes.
And it's just amazing. And the story it's a beautiful story. I mean, I just really appreciate you sharing it with us.
Thank you. And that, you know what, I realize, and I'm still on this journey, so I'm realizing it more and more every day, that those things that we really want, that are our deepest heart's desire, it's our essence, who we truly are, that magnetizes it to us in a natural way. I always say there's a natural rhythm with which we walk in this universe, with which we walk in this world. And when we can begin to access that rhythm, we'll walk, and then the things that we want are literally flowing into our space. I think it is anyway, but our attention isn't there. We're so distracted, we don't see it. But when we come into alignment with what I call our advanced directive, our purpose, you know, it's the only reason. I have a friend that says, your purpose is the only reason that you are here. It's to express your purpose, your soul. You're not this body. You're not your mind, your soul, your spiritual being. You are an eternal being. And there's something that you've come to give, and there's something that you've come to learn. And when you come into alignment with that, so many people are searching for their purpose. They're searching for happiness, and they're looking outside of them. And on this journey, I just realized that, you know, it was the pain that was blocking my ability to see. So when I see other people struggling, now I know what I'm looking at. I didn't always know what I was looking at. And then they're looking outside, because we're trained and conditioned to look outside of us. And I started out by saying that I told that young girl, like, you are the thinker. You think the thought. You create the thing. So nothing that we see around us was created in this outside world. Everything in this outside world was birthed from the invisible world. So how can we be out here searching for an answer? We're looking at an effect, and we're trying to change things, and we shift things, but then when they sit back in place and we see we haven't really gone anywhere, you know, we get more and more frustrated, more and more unhappy, and just don't understand what's happening. And all that's happened really is that we have not accessed cause. We haven't accessed what is creating this effect. So that's why I try to help people access what is creating this effect, this thing that keeps happening in your life, that keeps creating the unhappiness for you, the sadness, the abandonment, the experience that no matter, you know, with women, like, it doesn't matter what guy you date, where you meet him, they all seem to end up having the same personality.
Yes, I dated the same guy for 23 years. And that, and what I mean by that is they were all different people. But yeah, that was my biggest challenge and struggle. I literally realized I was dating the same person. And, you know, you hear these things, Carlina. We're with Carlina Springer, by the way, on the Happiness Hangout. And feel free to call in at 888-627-6008. It's funny, and I was thinking before that I had to live the same thing, the same scenario over and over and over and over again until I got it. And a lot of people are living that same scenario over and over and over again. There's something in their heart or something they think about, and other people may not even know about it, just they do, that just really takes them down. It could really throw them, you know, into the ground. And they're experiencing it over and over and over again for various reasons. So what do we tell our listeners and people we know and love that are struggling, but they're kind of blocked? How do you even, what is the simplest thing somebody can do to get started? Because I can't imagine sitting with the pain is the easiest thing to get started.
Right. And it's not. And so, you know, again, I had years of practice. You have to know how to even meditate to be willing to sit with yourself. So I know how to meditate. I know, and I don't sit in meditation just to have a peaceful experience. A lot of people, you know, they feel good because they meditated for a few minutes. Meditation for me is a place of creation. So a lot of people think it's a place where you have to go silence your thoughts. Well, that can happen naturally in the process. But once you begin to silence your thoughts, because thought creates, and that's where you create your reality, I go into meditation to create my reality. And I teach people how to do that too. But when you talk about people experiencing these cyclical patterns, where they keep having these painful experiences that they don't even talk about, the one thing that I've gotten because of my journey is that there is a little boy, there's a little girl, there's a baby inside of you that's hurting. That baby is so powerful. It's the closest one to spirit. It's the closest one to God. It has your wisdom. Children are wise. They just don't have the voice and the wherewithal to express their wisdom. And what happens is that as a child, when you have been in an abusive situation, or it may not have even been abusive, but we take on messages as children because our world revolves around us, and our parents may not have intended for us to take things that they said a certain way, but we may have internalized it in a certain way. And so there are walls that we have built because we don't feel safe. And what I'd say is notice those places where you don't feel safe. Like there's some boundary that has been crossed. There's a boundary that has been crossed because when you get angry, when people are angry, they're actually very, very clear. Okay? They're very clear. They may not be able to control that energy, but in that moment, somebody crossed a boundary and they said, this far, no further. Like, hell no, you're not coming here. Mm-hmm. You can't cross this line. But the thing is they don't have the courage. They don't have the inner strength because there are so many empty spaces inside, so many painful places inside, that sometimes when they recognize that someone is stepping over that boundary, they try to hold it in and they try to they try to not say anything, and they call it being nice or polite or whatever. Because the truth is that you really don't feel like you have the courage or the strength to stand up to whoever that is and whatever it is that they're doing. You don't know how to say, I don't appreciate when you speak to me like this. I don't appreciate it, or you can't speak to me this way. They don't know how to do that. And so what they do is that they shrink back. But this world and the people in it that we're having a relationship with, they are a reflection of what's going on in our deeper mind. And if we don't recognize that that's what's happening, and we just think that it's that person that has the problem, then no matter where we go, it's like a mirror. No matter where we go, this painful part of us is going to show up because we're running the same way we ran as children. And that little child is actually trying to get our attention. And that's why it's so important to self-partner, because you wouldn't see a child in danger, or most people wouldn't see a child in danger or a child scared and just leave them out there by themselves. But that's what, in essence, that's what we're doing to ourselves. We're abandoning ourselves in those situations where we need to stand up. And the thing is that it's not about standing up and saying things to that person in that moment. You can get to that place. But when you're willing to sit with yourself and acknowledge your feelings, it's like something magical takes place. Because you can acknowledge it to yourself, you automatically become stronger and able to say whatever it was you can acknowledge to yourself. You can say that to someone else. And so you begin to naturally create boundaries. You begin to notice more things. So I would say for people who are having those challenges, get some mentoring, get some coaching. For some people, it may be counseling, because these are really painful places, and I didn't get here by myself. there's no way I could have done this by myself, by just sitting with myself. I didn't even know I had all of this. And this was after years of processing, after years of helping people. But like I said earlier, I had to be in a proper psychological state. I had to have the capacity to handle something that I think today almost took me out. And I didn't think I could make it through it. So I say, you know, have a coach, get someone, go pay somebody, invest in yourself, because your dreams are right beyond that pain. And that little child in you is, look at children. They are so, they're so magical. They're amazing. Unless somebody has done something to hurt them, they don't have any fear.
They see the world is so clear and so anything can happen. It's so clean
anything
and fresh.
Anything is possible. Absolutely. So what happens is that when you self-partner, you're actually, and I'm saying that, and I'm seeing myself taking the little me by my hand, and I'm telling her, you know what? I'm grown now. I didn't know that was you. I didn't know you were my fear. I didn't know that was you trying to get my attention. Say, please pay attention to me. Stop ignoring me. Because what will happen is that you will want something, and it doesn't matter. And so many people struggle with this in business and even in their relationships. They go to people and they go to experts and they get all the strategies, right? Get all the mental strategies, all the things you have to do. But then you run into your emotions, and it doesn't matter how much you know how to do, you can't move.
Right.
Little children are very powerful. Look at babies. They demand attention. So you're not going to be able to move past that little person inside of you. That's why it's so important to begin to nurture. When you don't feel good, you might not be able to sit with yourself as I did for 2 days or 3 days or whatever, but you can put your hand on your heart in the moment. And you can call yourself by name and just soothe yourself. Just putting your hand on your heart is soothing. And talk gently to yourself, you know? So and just remind yourself that it's okay. You've been to hell. It's okay. Nothing has changed in your environment. You're okay. You took a trip in your thoughts, but you're okay.
And, you know, the thing is, a lot of these people, whether it was, you know, an adult or whenever, it might have happened in your life even when you're older, a lot of these people are not even on this planet anymore. They've passed. But yet that sticks with you. They're not even here. But you deal with the outcomes of that. And, you know, it seems to me that when something gets triggered, that's when we say, you know, I really am reacting crazy, or I'm extremely upset, or I'm shutting down. Something's happening here. And what happened to you, if it's buried, it's things that, again, you can't go directly to that person 99% of the time, because either they're out of your life or they are passed on or whatever it is. So you're carrying that along with you. If it comes up, I keep going back to awareness and being conscious. And at least saying, okay, something's going on here. Maybe I can't deal with it right now, but something, I'm aware of it. And like you said, just to soothe yourself and say, it's okay. Like if I think back to some of the things, which as you're speaking, I am, wow, that had been really powerful to know. You know, I had a great upbringing with great parents, but I still had stuff happen. And that stuff did stay with me, but I didn't get through it for 40 years. I mean,
right.
It happens when it happens in our lives. At the same time, like you said, it could never hurt to soothe yourself and just to say it's okay. Because it's almost like sometimes we have to almost forgive ourselves. Because I think sometimes we end up so hard on ourselves. Why am I crying? Why am I upset? Push this away. It isn't worth it. And we have to even just forgive our own self and say, hey, I'm allowed to feel any way I want. And even if this doesn't make sense, I still can forgive myself no matter what it is.
And you know what? That's what Destiny Embrace is about, because it literally is about embracing all of you, the good, the things that you judge as bad, because truly it's all energy. And what happens is that when that energy is not on our side and it's suppressed, just like a pot that's boiling with water, if you have a cover on it and you don't and that pressure builds, it can blow the cover. If it's not secure, if that pressure builds too high, it will blow. It will blow. So the energy that you're suppressing, what has to happen is that even though you can't physically see it, it's showing up in other people because we're all energetically, literally, we're connected. So if you could see the energy, you're pushing it down, and it's going in them. And so no matter where you go, this is how you keep meeting different people and you're dating the same guy. Or you keep changing jobs and you have the same type of boss with this nasty personality or somebody, a coworker that's, you know, always out to sabotage you or whatever. There's a story. And that story is similar no matter where you go. Mm-hmm. And so what we have to realize is that there are energetic patterns that are in us because we grew up in it. And whether we're aware of what it was or not, that's resonating in our energy field. And so you hear about the law of attraction, you're going to places that are familiar to you. You're going to people that are familiar to you. But because we have been trained and conditioned to be left brain and logical and not acknowledge our intuitive side, we don't know anything about our intuition. We don't trust it. You know, it's something that's really neat from time to time. And maybe for some people, it scares them because of what they see. They don't like it. Maybe they see death or something else. And so that's not acknowledged. Emotion is not acknowledged. And emotion is energy in motion. So if you don't know how to harness, control, and direct that energy, you will always be hitting up against your own energy and you don't even know it. And there are people that are praying and begging God, please help me. And every now and then, because they beg with such intensity, they get a breakthrough. But they can't sustain it because that takes a tremendous amount of energy. But when you practice, like really being with yourself and acknowledging yourself in the moment, just those little shifts, you're pulling your energy back.
And Carlina, I was just going to say law of attraction about 10 seconds before you did. That is where I think I started. I started to follow it, believe in it, read about it, and use it. And I used it on easy stuff. And I think when you start to just kind of break open and realize the energy, you know, energy, we're all just made of energy and it connects and you put out there what you want and it comes back at you. That was probably my easy stepping stone in doing that. Because as you do that and you start to open up, I think you start to let other stuff happen, maybe more challenging things happen. You know, like I said, dating the same guy for 23 years, well, I'm engaged now. And I do believe that that did not happen randomly. So, you know, it's so true that now that you're talking, I think that's where I started. Because again, you know, I might say, okay, I would like a piece of exercise equipment, and I'd follow it, throw it out there. And I swear I documented like 16 or 20 major things that happened to me in 1 year when I was really, really conscious of. Now I do it all the time. It's just naturally. But I think that was the opening for me, and the opening for other people could be different than my opening, but I found it easy because I was dealing with lighthearted stuff. And I do want to mention, we have about 4 minutes left in the show. Okay. And I do want to take a couple of minutes for you to talk about your Creating Clarity Daily program and your website and everything. So feel free to wrap up. We only have just a couple of minutes and I wanted to let you know.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So you've heard part of that process here, but Creating Clarity Daily is a very basic, gentle introduction to what I've been talking about here. And everything that I teach is about helping you to harness, direct and control your energy. So in Creating Clarity Daily, there we have a ebook. And that ebook is just 25 pages, but it gives you a reorientation. I call it a reorientation to our natural way of looking outside of ourselves for direction, where we keep running up against walls. It allows you to look inside, and it talks to you a little bit about who you are and how you interact with reality and how you create your own reality. And then we have a workbook, and that workbook has daily exercises that take anywhere from probably like 3 to 15 minutes. And at the end of that, and that's a 7-week program. So it's very powerful. It's very simple, small shift of you becoming more and more aware of where your attention is going, of who you are, and becoming aware of synchronicity and watching as synchronicity begins to happen more and more. It's happening all the time. You get to notice it. So that program is normally $9.97, and I have a special right now for $5.97. And I'll give you my email. My email is the Meta, physical, physical, mom@gmail.com. And my website is destinyembraced.org. That's destinyembraced.org. And I also have a Facebook page, Facebook group, and that's called Destiny Embraced Home.
Hi, this is your host, Lori. Want to get more happiness? Check out all the free readings, activities, and my blog at my website. Want to learn how to deal with life's challenges from your positive core? Check out Empowering Yourself to Happiness class, done totally online. You can find it all at www.happinesshangout.net. www.happinesshangout.net. Come explore and feel better wherever you are. This is Lori Peters with the Happiness Hangout. I provide presentations on happiness and well-being to businesses, schools, and anyone involved in wellness and professional days. Check out tons of free resources and activities also at my website, www.happinesshangout.net. Feel better wherever you are.